Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network.
Everybody, it's The Voice, and I am back in LaSalle, Illinois, but this time, I'm not at the Social Kitchen. I'm not sitting here with some musicians. Instead, I'm down the road in an apartment, as Cole Cabana would say, a studio apartment, but we're not in Chicago, we're in LaSalle, and I have a couple special guests. As you well know, I'm a huge wrestling fan. I've been going to Dreamwave shows and most recently AAW shows in LaSalle. And I got a couple of the guys to sit down before the event tonight. We're going to drink some beers and have a fun time. So let me welcome in our guests. We got Mr. Mike Hartenbauer.
Hello, how we doing?
Wrestling LaSalle style.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
LaSalle's very own.
And Christian Rose.
Greetings, everybody.
Welcome to Drunken Lullabies. All right, well...
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, with every episode, we have our own drinking game for all the drunkomaniacs at home. So, grab a beer, and anytime one of us swears, anytime one of us makes a pop culture reference or does an impression, anytime somebody has an audible expulsion of gas, and anytime somebody says the word of the day... you have to take a drink. And today we're going to make the word of the day wrestling. Why not? Fuck it.
So we're going to die.
No, we don't have to do it. It's just for the people.
Oh, okay.
They're going to die.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to play along.
I'm trying to gradually kill off all my listeners from over-intoxication.
Your reward is liver failure.
Yes, exactly. All right, well, we have our own game that we play here. And all you at home already know what it is. We like to call it... spin the bottle.
Beer makes us fired up, so come on, drink it all night long. Slam it, girl. 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 Where's the marching band at? Pound that beer. Pound that beer. Don't from dial, no. Pound that beer. Pound that beer. Pound that beer. Don't from dial, no. Pound that beer. Bubble on
back to the bar. All right, let's spin and see who has to chug.
Ooh.
I guess it's me. Okay. I think that was rigged.
What do you got there?
This is from Revolution Brewing. This is the anti-hero.
Chicago's very own.
Chicago, yes. And I'm unfortunately drinking out of a Chicago Cubs Wrigley Field pint glass, but that's all right. And this did not. This didn't pour very well at all.
He's gonna blame the glass for that.
Yeah, it is. It's totally the glass's fault.
There's some sort of lacquer on the inside of the glass that caused the foam.
Well, I mean, it is appropriate. you're what they call a slightly fanatic of the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah,
Mike.
For anybody that knows me, you won't be surprised to find out that I only had Cubs glasses here.
Yeah. I mean, when your Facebook profile is filled with pictures of you with current and former players.
Yes. A little bit of a hobby. Currently working the Anthony Rizzo with the Too Sweet. So we got the wrestling.
Yeah.
Word for you, wrestling.
Ding.
Twice now. you know, got that reference in there, so that works.
No, I'm staring on your wall. I'm guessing that's part of the old bleachers.
Yes.
Before they gutted those.
Yes, I actually wore a really heavy coat. It was an April, cold April day. Wore a heavy coat, brought a screwdriver, and tore that out myself, and they never even noticed it was gone.
Nice.
I'm kidding.
I actually believed that.
Right? No, that was pretty solid. Yeah.
I pay quite a bit of money for all of this stuff. I wish I got it for free or stole it.
Also, but, for the people that don't know Mike, that story that he told is completely plausible. That's why
Right.
I did not.
No, he would just rip it out with his bare hands. You know. I can respect it. I have chairs from Old Bush Stadium in my kitchen. So you got a Wrigley seat.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Well, I guess it's time for me to chug. We usually record these, and this one's probably going to be a little bit longer than normal, but Freckles will record here. So, yeah, this is the anti-hero. I usually have a description of what I'm chugging, but we've drank this on the show before. Everybody knows what it is. It's 6.5%. It's going to get me slightly tipsy before we go have lunch at the Social Kitchen later. So there's another free plug for you guys. All right. Here we go. I'm not a good chugger, by the way.
That's fine.
I'm terrible, so.
Okay.
Yeah, you're so settle in.
Yeah. All right.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're doing this infinitely better than I would have.
Yeah, we're going to need to edit it if I have to do one sip and then glasses.
Yeah. All right. So, that's spin the bottle for the week. Now let's drink some beer slower. All right. So our first beer, this is one of my favorites currently. If I had to pick a go-to beer currently, this would be it. I don't know if you guys get Triptych up here. They're out of Champaign, Savoy,
maybe.
Illinois. And there's a fruit. Always. Boom. Post-chug is the first one.
Ding. Ding.
All right. So I'm going to pour a little in these other glasses for you. This is a...
I'll take that glass.
It's a juicy pale ale. So there's that one. That's appropriate. That's the World Series Champions glass. So, all right. There's some for you, Christian. And I'll just pour it on top of the foam. You want any Freckles?
No.
No? Okay. Well, we'll leave it there. You guys can split it if you want. But the dank meme, it is brewed as a love letter to trendsetters out on the East Coast. It is a golden-colored pale ale with 45 IBUs, and it's only 5% alcohol. And this beer is, let's see, they have a grammatical error in their description, so I'm just going to skip that sentence. We hopped this beer like a boss with Azaka, El Dorado, and plenty of Citra in the finish. It's sure to make you say, oh really, me gusta. I don't know if I've ever said that while drinking it. I think it's a damn good IPA. And yeah, it's kind of a hazy one.
Date, so this is a new world for me right here.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. I'm looking at an old style sign. You're a big Cubs fan. Now, is that your standard go-to beers?
Honestly, I'm a pretty light drinking guy. I got that Coors Light fridge in the kitchen, which I won by drinking a ton of Coors Light.
Okay. I have a Bud Light fridge that I won at a gas station because I wrote my name down.
I guess I had to work a little bit harder, you know. But, no, I'll pretty much drink anything, which... Again, if you know me, that's kind of my motto.
Is that going to be on your new T-shirt?
that's
your deal. I'll drink anything.
I think it's better if it's I'll pretty much drink anything.
yeah, we got to be careful with that. Old Christian here has made people drink his urine before.
This is...
Maybe we can get to that later. But
yeah.
Oh, man.
It's something we can story.
I don't know if I've got it in the space in the show lineup for that. We'll save that for show number two. I appreciate the offer, though.
No. It was not for anyone that I like.
It's a different kind of homebrew than what
I'm
used
to. Take a shot of this. It's really good.
Yeah, me too.
It's kind of funky. So... You said you stick with mostly domestic stuff.
Yeah,
I see a Coors over there.
Yeah, I'm having the Coors right now because it's what's available in this apartment. I'm actually a Miller Lite guy.
Okay.
I just kind of like get into these grooves for one of my dearest friends is Eric Cannon.
Oh yeah.
So if I'm hanging
hopefully a future guest, we'll see. Trying to talk with him, we're trying to get things figured out for maybe a future episode. Obviously, we'll be drinking PBR on that episode.
Cannon, when I lived in Davenport, Cannon stayed with us one time for I think it was 5 days.
Okay.
And one of my good friends taught me a lot, traveled with him, loved the guy to death. And it's just that thing where if you drink beer and you're around him, you're going to end up drinking PBR.
Yeah, that's what I drink at the KOC hall during the matches.
Exactly.
I mean, $2 for a tall boy.
Pounder.
Yeah, you can't really.
Can't beat that.
No, sir. Plus, they're not going to have Dogfish Head over there. They're not going to have Four Hands or Revolution. I have to drink that at the restaurants here on First Street before we go. That's my pregame. Or apparently, we're just going to drink here, maybe in the parking lot. I don't know. It's a little chilly out there, but
might not even go to the show, right? Let's just get drunk.
Yeah, you know.
He's not going to go to work. I don't want to go to the show. Yeah, we'll just call it a day.
Call in sick to my job. We'll just watch wrestling.
Yeah. Well, obviously.
Also, there was another one.
Yes, we're going to talk about it. I mean, you guys are both wrestlers. You're doing the indie thing. Christian, you're kind of all over the place. I recently was watching some new stuff on YouTube. There's a new company out of Kansas City and St. Louis.
Correct, yeah.
NWL, and they've been going for a few weeks now. They rotate. It's what, Thursdays?
It's every other Thursday in St. Louis and then every other Saturday in Kansas City. So if you live in the area and you're willing to jog back and forth across the state, you can watch an NWL show
every week. Yeah.
And it's kind of their own version of the brand split with Raw versus SmackDown.
Yeah.
So it's very much Kansas City versus St. Louis. And I'm sure we'll get into it, but it's completely different from an employee's perspective than anything I've been a part of in wrestling, period. And I mean that in the utmost of positives.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of it that, like, I'm still getting acclimated to.
Okay.
I'm just not used to. Like,
yeah.
Mike can back me up on this. Like, we're used to, at the end of the night, you get paid. And if it's a nice place, you get...
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Easy. And if it's a nice place, you get an envelope of money, and more often than not, someone just hands you your money, like, you're doing, like, the worst drug deal of all time.
Right.
And with NWL, like, I wake up after events, like, a few days afterwards and have money direct deposited into my bank account.
Nice.
And just stuff like that where it's, like, it is...
Yeah.
I mean, it's great.
Well, you can tell the production value is off the charts compared to a lot of what you see. They're putting their shows up on YouTube, but... Yeah, and there's a few area guys.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Wolf is on there as well. But yeah, you have a different alias on that show.
And that was I fell into the NWL thing kind of by accident, really. The former Pierre Abernathy, who was the guy in charge of St. Louis Anarchy for a number of years, I had wrestled there and worked for him. Great dude. One of the best promoters I've ever had the pleasure of working with. And he basically messaged me out of the blue back in, I think it was November, and said the St. Louis Anarchy was going to be done. And I was like, wait, what?
So, is that the one that was in Alton?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were running in Alton. So I called him and I was like, what are you talking about? And he told me that this NWL thing was starting up. And he's like, it's going to actually be a company. They're going to be basically an office job with a salary. And I'm like, I was like, that's impossible. Like, that doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, like, you see independent promotions start up around tax time because somebody gets their money back, and then they buy a ring, and they find a shed, and then they call guys like me and Mike, and they're like, hey, you want to go get dropped on your head or whatever. he was telling me
all this.
And we go. Yeah, and we go.
And we go,
obviously.
Yes.
But he's telling me all this, and I was just kind of like, I would never think that he would, like, blow smoke up my ass or anything, but it just sounded too
good to be true.
Too good to be true and too insane. So almost jokingly at the end of the conversation, I was like, well, hey, man, good luck. I hope it, you know, goes well for you.
Yeah, you've been doing this a while. You've seen your fair share of stuff.
Yeah. I'm sold. That should be another one for the listeners. Anytime that my age is referenced, take another swig.
Well, how old are you?
Problem is, none of us know his age.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Exactly. I was born old. But at the end of the conversation, I was just like, well, hey, man, if you ever need a guy, you know, let me know. And that was it. I wasn't even really being serious. I hope he does listen to this and then finds out that he accidentally hired me. So then a few weeks later, he was like, hey, are you serious? And I was like, yeah, sure. Still thinking it was not going to happen. And then I had to have a conference call, which is the first one I've ever had to have that had anything to do with wrestling. I had to sign a contract. Again, first thing I've ever had to do with wrestling that was anywhere close to that. And I was just kind of like, this is really different. This is, like... And I think it's because this may sound mean to the other places I wrestle for. It's just this level of professionalism that I
yeah.
Get
I mean the guy is he coming from like a business background? Yeah. Like he's got a whole different mentality different. For running yeah. a business. And I'd heard some great things that you know they had some good backers. There's yeah. money to be put into it, and it's definitely.
I think
definitely that, interesting.
Like, and we've only had two shows in each town at this point, mm-hmm. so it's only about a month old from the debut right now. So I think that, like, as with most promotions, once they get the ball rolling and kind of get the kinks worked out on a few things, it's going to be a really, really good thing. And to me, any place that can offer guys somewhere to work mm-hmm. and get paid, you know, is. It's good for wrestling, it's good for the guys, it's good for the business as a whole. And
for
I
sure.
think that like once the ball gets really rolling on it, it's going to be awesome. Because like that first show, there was over 400 people there on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just absolutely bonkers.
I have to wait for summertime before I'm going to be able to go to one.
Because yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
like school nights.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
we want to take the kids and make a weekend of it. So, and speaking of new promotions, second shows tonight... When we're recording this, is the second AAW show here in LaSalle. And Mike, you've been a part of both shows so far. You were a regular on Dream Wave when they were in town for their 100 events, and Jay closed up shop and luckily brought in a fantastic promotion to come in and take over and keep wrestling in LaSalle, which I was ecstatic about because I'll be honest. I was a little late to the party on Dreamwave. I live an hour and a half, 2 hours away, and I found out about it way later than I should have. And I was kind of pissed when I found out, like, what? It's ending? Like,
yeah.
No, I just found this. And, you know, I love indie wrestling, and I should have been coming here for a lot longer. And then, luckily, you know, AAW is here, and they're an established company up in Chicago and have a lot of alumni that have come out of there and gone on to, you know, I mean, Seth Rollins, some people know who he is, back when he was Tyler Black and whatnot. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about your background.
It's pretty crazy, and when you say that you came to the party kind of late, I felt that I did too. Dreamwave started in 2009, and I actually went to a few shows in, I want to say, 2012.
Okay.
And started to get to know some of the guys there, Jay, and just started talking to some of the boys. And when I was a kid, I wanted to be a wrestler, so.
I think any kid born in the 80s
yeah,
wanted
I mean,
to be.
Yeah, I mean, everything just kind of came together really weird for me. Mm-hmm. I think my path in pro wrestling is so much different than everybody else's. I wouldn't recommend doing what I've done. You know, I think if anything, you know, Tom went to school and Christian here went to school and...
oh, no.
Wait, there's a fourth guy here?
Oh, no.
Fuck! you know, kind of a weird path for me, but, you know, everybody, you know, when they think of Dreamwave, they think of so many different guys, and, you know, I think that one guy you really think of from beginning to end was Nick Brubaker.
Yeah.
And, easily. I almost I'm going to say this, and I'm probably going to get some heat for this, but, like, I'm almost, like, Iron Man number two.
yeah.
Just because, like, I mean, from beginning to end, I mean, he was there from the get-go. Mm-hmm. There was only so many of those guys, but... you know, between the few shows that I went to as a fan, and then I was there for the final half of all of it, every single show. And, like I said, I wish I was there from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
Just even going to shows.
Well, I remember, I know Brubaker's been doing it for forever. We used to have, I think it was NGW was the promotion.
Yep.
When I went to some shows in Pekin, where I'm from, mm-hmm. At the Dragon's Dome, I remember seeing your tag team partner back before, you know, he became...
Before he was Waylon.
Before he was Waylon.
Ryan Phoenix.
Back when he was Ryan Phoenix, I saw him do a barbed wire match.
Imagine that.
Yeah, and...
so
Well, he's going to be on the show coming up down the road, too. He lives like 10 minutes from me, so we're just...
He's another one. He'll drink anything.
Oh, exactly. And so, yeah, and like Ali, he was wrestling there, and now he's on 205 Live.
It's
pretty crazy. So, yeah, it's cool that some of the guys that have done this indie circuit are getting there.
Yeah, like I said, it's really cool for me to see it, and then... And I live a block away
from
the venue for all of this, and it's I don't think a lot of people quite understand what it is around here, even after 7-8 years of these events happening every single month.
Mm-hmm.
Dreamwave kind of branched out from LaSalle, and now I think with AAW and their national recognition, I think that's going to kind of come into LaSalle.
Mm-hmm.
And even put the town on the map even more in the wrestling world.
Yeah, because I mean, they have
pretty cool thing.
They've got the Chicago shows, and then now they're doing the ones here like a couple weeks later. So yeah, you're going to hope that group intersects, you know, because like tonight, Congo Kong is wrestling Sammy for the title, and that was all set up at the last Chicago event.
Right.
So it's like, okay, people want to see that. Yeah, they got to come to LaSalle.
Should help out quite a bit.
So that should be fun. Otherwise, they just got to, you know, subscribe and watch the events on the computer.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we're going to drink another beer.
Good.
If you guys have finished your dank memes. He's double fisting over here with the Coors, which...
Yeah.
That's what Freckles does every episode. She's drinking two beers at once. All right, so you guys can split that there. This is from Left Hand, which the logo reminds me of like the old Andre the Giant t-shirts. It's just like a red handprint. So there's a wrestling reference. But this is the Extrovert IPA, Left Hand Brewing's new American IPA, bringing together a blend of tropical, fruit-forward hops with a malty backbone, finishing with a pleasant, lingering bitterness. And we're drinking with the bitter lunatic.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
this bitter old bastard I've ever met in my life.
This should be right up
there. He's only like a year older than me, too, by the way, which is funny.
But in spirit, 140. I'm glad that I have an apartment with no lawn so that I don't have to yell, "Damn kids, get off my lawn." But I have yelled out of my window at a kid skateboarding one time to get off my sidewalk.
I believe many times while drinking up here, we've opened up the windows and just yelled at random people.
Well, this is like you kind of have to.
Yeah, they have no business being out on.
No, I was meaning with this kind of setup.
There is a bit of bitterness at the end of this.
Yeah, see, you can smell your own. You get it. Now, when we were driving up here, Freckles reminded me of something, and I had totally forgotten about it. Did we actually see a legit proposal at Dreamwave 100 in your farewell speech?
Okay, so this is great. I like to talk, and I like to think that I'm good at improv style situations.
All the more reason to have you on a podcast.
Yeah. Okay, so the last Dreamwave show, which I knew that the prior one in November, I knew I wanted that to be my last Dreamwave match because mm-hmm. there was a lot of, like, stupid sentimental bullshit that went into it that honestly nobody cares about. Anyways, I knew that at the last show, all I wanted to do was just have a speech and just say goodbye. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to wrestle. I specifically asked not to wrestle.
Because it was, what, you and was Matt Cage?
Ian Cage.
Yeah.
Had our last match against each other at... I guess 99, or I can't remember now what the name of the show was.
I don't either. I have the 100. DVD. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was 100. It was, because the 101 show was...
That's right. I'm sorry.
So it was Dreamwave 100. It was 5 years to the day from my debut for Dreamwave, which I thought was serendipitous, if you will. And then...
good word.
Thank you. And me and Cage's last match, we can bring that up later. But anyways, so the last show, the end, I knew I didn't want to wrestle, specifically asked not to. Whatever. I just wanted to say goodbye. So I got real drunk in the afternoon, and having just recently rewatched the speech, I'm glad that you can't really tell that I'm pretty housed. Anyways, so I'm in the ring, and I basically My girlfriend works at the merch table for Dreamwave. Hi, Meg. So Dreamwave kind of set off into this chain reaction of events that led me to meeting her. Didn't meet at Dreamwave, but that was kind of like got the ball rolling, so to speak. And so like I put over the place for leading to that, and you know, blah blah blah. And some rando out in the crowd just yells, "Pop the question."
It was not me.
It was me, Christian. It was me all along.
Son of a bitch.
Casually, you want to get married?
Yeah, exactly. So like it takes off, and the crowd starts chanting, "Pop the question," and I'm like standing up in the ring. I'm like, well, I can't not.
Right.
You know, like that'd be like
anticlimactic.
The biggest downer of all
time. Not good, dude.
No.
I'm like John Cena. I'm never getting married.
So then, like, so as Freckles pointed out, the most casual, nonchalant bullshit proposal of all time is, "Hey, you want to get married or something?" And everyone like loses their mind.
Yeah, brings the house down.
Yeah, and so then the best part of this to me is, show ends. We go out to the after party, and I'm in the bar. Shout out to Refills. And all of a sudden, somebody taps me on the shoulder. I turn around, and there's some dude standing there, and he's got a WWE Championship belt. Like, he's holding it over his shoulder.
Yes, of course.
And he is also very drunk, and looks like he
I think
like he's about to cry.
He sat next to us at the last AAW show, I believe.
Okay. And he I turn around, and the guy's standing there with his belt, and he looks like he's about to cry, and he just goes, "Dude, I'm the one who started the Pop the Question chant." And I'm like, okay. cool, I guess. And he just goes, "You don't have to do it." I'm like, well, I know, but if I call this off, it's not going to be to you, buddy. It'd be to her, obviously. And he goes, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. You don't have to listen to me. I'm just some dumbass with a fake belt. And I'm like, all right.
This is awkward now.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Like, it's all right.
Yeah.
And he's like, but you don't have to. And I'm like, hey, man. If this does happen, it's not going to be for a real long time.
Yeah.
And by that point, I'm not going to give you any credit for it. And he's like, oh, thank God. I'm just some jackass with a fake belt. You don't got to listen to me. And then just turns and walks away into the crowd. I don't know the dude's name.
Yeah.
At no point said his name. And I was just kind of like, okay, well, that happened, I guess.
Yeah.
And so then the next morning, I'm standing hunched over in my kitchen brewing coffee.
Now, before you, because I think I know where you're going with this one.
We're bringing it back to
Dreamwave 100. I probably, we opened the show, and immediately after, I started drinking heavily. So by the time we get to your promo and everything, I don't know where I was. I don't know. I have no idea what's going on at this point.
I'm sure Jeff had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, no shit. God, I mean, I was probably in rough shape. I'm in bad shape. So it fell off a roof. I fell again the next day. So I don't know anything. I don't know shit about fuck about any of this. And I wake up the next morning and I'm feeling like just death. I don't even know how I got home. I imagine I probably walked, hopefully.
It makes sense.
But, yeah, I mean, shit, it's right there. But I wake up, I'm looking on Twitter and shit, and I see all this shit. Congratulations, you know, when's the date, all this shit, and I'm sitting there, it's 2017, and at this time it's 2016, you don't call people, you know, I call my mom, I call, I just call my mom, that's the only person I call. So, go ahead. Continue.
Okay, so at this moment, while he's piecing together what happened from social media, I'm standing in my kitchen waiting desperately on coffee to brew.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of degenerates passed out in my apartment, and I'm just standing there. All of a sudden, my phone rings. And as he pointed out, like, you know, how often do you really make a phone call?
Yeah, not very often.
My phone rings, and I think to myself, oh, no, because it's, you know, 9:30 in the morning or whatever.
Right.
And then I look, and it just says Mike Hartenbauer on the call ID, and I'm like, oh, no. So as I'm reaching for the phone, my first thought is, I have money to bail him out, but I don't want to.
He wouldn't be calling from his cell phone anyway.
Well, I don't know that. But my thought is,
could have gotten in trouble with the mob.
But my first thought is, like, what do I make up to tell him why I can't bail him out?
Fuck you, you wouldn't have been the first person I would have called
to
bail anyway.
I don't, yeah, I shouldn't have been. But anyways, like, I'm like, oh, God, something horrible has happened. So I'm like, hello, Mike? And he's just, did you, proposed to Meg last night. I'm like, oh, thank God, everything's okay. So, like, I tell him the story. I was like, so kind of, sort of, not really. I guess it was just to appease the mob, but, like,
yeah.
Interpret that as you will. And he's, oh, okay. Mike, where are you? You okay? I'm in my bathroom. Okay, you're fine.
Yeah, all good.
What are you going to do today?
Mostly, I was just wondering, like, if I was going to be invited to the wedding.
No.
That was kind of like, fuck you. I never get invited to weddings anymore, because it's like, okay, like, weekends, like, Saturday, okay, you got wrestling.
You're specifically invited to the reception.
Good. Well, good.
That's the best part
good.
Anyway.
Exactly. I don't want to fucking see you get married anyway.
It's fine. So, that's going to be, like, a
$4
wedding.
So, yeah, no, I never get invited to weddings, so that was kind of my main thing. I was like, can I be in the wedding party?
I don't either, and I'm super happy about it.
I wouldn't mind occasionally. Like, I think I canceled on a couple, like, during the Cubs' last couple postseason runs.
Well, that's their fault for scheduling it.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
That ain't on you.
So,
it was really hilarious to me that you were, like, near death. And your first thought was to call him to ask if you would be in the wedding.
Absolutely. You know, I'm like, well, shit, I can't miss up my opportunity on that. He's got siblings and people he's known longer, but
well,
fuck, I gotta get my spot.
Oddly enough, our band of the week for this episode can kind of tie into this conversation. They're called Say Yes. And I believe a yes chant broke out after...
Yeah. That's how you respond positively in wrestling.
It is. You do the Daniel Bryan fingers in the air and yo yes. So here's a little bit about Say Yes. They are a Toronto-based rock trio comprised of drummer Jordan Hastings, bassist Michael Zane, and guitar vocalist Adam Michael. They're longtime veterans on Canada's underground rock scene. They've previously, they're alumni from acts like Alexis on Fire, St. Alvia, and Jersey, and now they have a brand new album. We're going to play a couple songs from it. I really dig it. If you're a fan of the band Billy Talent, you will definitely like them. They actually opened for Billy Talent on their last tour, and their guitar player produced the album. So the sound makes sense. But we're going to play the lead single off of Say Yes's debut album, and this is Once Forward, Twice Back, here on Drunken Lullabies.
We'll be right back.
And that was Say Yes with Once Forward, Twice Back, which is not their take on Paula Abdul's Opposites Attract. Two steps forward, two steps back. No?
Something.
Something like that. All right, so we're going to drink another beer, and this is the Stone Delicious IPA. Well, we will find out. It says it's a citrusy IPA with lemon drop and El Dorado hops. This beer was fermented from barley, a grain containing gluten, and crafted to reduce gluten. The gluten content of this beer cannot be verified, and this beer may contain gluten. Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be...
Oh, shit, we killed Christian. Well...
Nope, he's still alive.
Oh, okay, he's back. All right, from...
Went to a brief gluten coma there, guys.
From the beginning, Stone has been obsessed with the mission of providing people access to bold, high-quality craft beer. After all, great beer is for everyone and anyone... What? Great beer is for everyone and anyone with the good taste to recognize it, not just a niche group like us uber beer geeks. So when we developed this pleasantly bitter, deliciously citrusy, no, okay. She's the citrus lunatic.
Oh, okay.
Hop-driven IPA, we took it as an opportunity to go a step further and do something we'd spent over a year researching and perfecting. Create a beer that makes it possible for nearly everyone to experience our aggressive, no-holds-barred wrestling movie approach to craft brewing. It's a flavorful, cutting-edge, modern-day IPA for everyone. Lemon drop and El Dorado hops provide plenty of fruity citrus character and a burst of hop zing that sings on the palate. We're proud to present it to those who already know us for our IPA prowess and to those who so far have only heard the legends. And I can stop reading now.
Wow, they fit that onto one label.
And it's 7.7%. So they at least make it worth reading.
Hell yeah. You dumb son of a bitch. I want to be the guy that comes up with these little descriptions because, god damn, they seem like they just get drunk and then write them.
Yeah, and maybe, like, they get drunk, but they have a thesaurus in front of them.
Just, right.
Like, throw a dart at whatever we open it to, and we're going to use that. I like pleasantly bitter, though. I'm going to...
Yeah, you're kind of pleasantly bitter.
Yeah. Lousy kids. I'm going to change that to my display name on Twitter, pleasantly bitter.
I like it.
That rhymes.
Is it probably already taken?
Damn it!
Probably. I mean, Twitter's been a thing for a while.
The display name, though, you can do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, still... Still at Bitter Lunatic real quick.
Okay, there you go. No, we're going to... We'll get into plugs later. Don't worry. You guys are going to be able to do promos. So, we had some news?
Ah, yes. Okay, so this is wrestling news, but as this is local wrestling news, it is worth announcing. Been working in secret with one or two people to make this happen. On March 2nd, in conjunction with Funky Monkey Wrestling...
Another good promotion not too far from here up in Sterling.
Yep, Sterling, located out of Sterling. Be opening a new training facility in Sterling, Illinois. So if you are an aspiring wrestler looking for somewhere to train, myself and Matt Cage will be the head trainers at the new school.
Nice.
We're looking to start on March 2nd. For details and information, you're going to have to send an email to the third party involved. Otherwise known as Zeke Zishi.
I was going to ask if Zeke was involved. Yep. Is he training?
No.
That's good.
Absolutely not. Go to hell, Zeke. No, he's kind of our business partner in this endeavor. Me and Cage will be the head trainers. We'll have like one or two other guys like Bucky Collins and a few other people that'll step in to help train as well.
I hope that I'm brought in as a special instructor on how to not be an asshole. In locker rooms and stuff like that. Whereas I'm good at that stuff.
We're going to strap a GoPro to you and use that as the idea is don't do what Mike do.
So. No, fuck that. I am professional as shit when it comes to wrestling.
But if you're interested for further details and more information, send an email to jimribs@hotmail.com. That's J-I-M ribs, as in a man named Jim, ribs, at hotmail.com. And please spread the word.
Awesome.
New endeavor for us in the wide world of professional wrestling.
Funky Monkey.
Yep, Funky Monkey University.
They just had like the Royal Rumble style match not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're wanting to make the trek up there to check out one of the events. Zeke told me, hey, you should come see it. It's very family friendly. We do storylines.
Yes, very
and
much so.
You know, it's not just like, hey, all these people are going to be here. You're wrestling you. And
it's a lot of people over there.
Yeah. Like, I think, I won't speak for Mike, but I will say that, like, I think Funky Monkey is one of the three most fun places I've ever wrestled.
With a name like that, how can it not be?
And I like that, how is it we always put it? Like, they take themselves just seriously enough to still make fun of themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
I've seen the commercial with, like, the car dealership and everything that sponsors the promotion.
Super family friendly, and, like, their version of the Money in the Bank ladder match is Monkey in the Bank. And
okay.
The first time that I was...
Is there literally, like, a stuffed monkey in a briefcase?
Better.
Okay.
It's a small... the first time I was there for it, I would look it up at what they had hanging. I was like, I don't know what that is. It's like a small wooden...
Oh, it's like a Donkey Kong barrel thing.
Yeah. And
it's
a barrel.
Nice.
It's a barrel of monkeys that you can cash in for a title shot. And then, like, the Halloween costume battle royal.
That would have been funny to see Hammerstone carrying around a barrel of monkeys.
He just breaks it open and kills the monkeys.
So yeah, that's another one
King
to check
of the
Undertaker
out. There's sitting.
That's right. Yes, Funky Monkey Costume Battle Royal a couple years ago. Did the Undertaker? I think I made Mean Mark pretty proud.
Mean Mark Callis, the skyscrapers.
It's pretty fucked, but if you look at pictures of him from, like, ages, like, 20...
No, I can see it. I can see it.
Honestly, like, till about 92, I think, from that, like, pre-Taker to a year or two in.
It's actually pretty fucking
He still had the ginger stubble and everything.
I gotta talk to my mom.
Were you a WCW ring rat?
Yeah, like, fuck.
Were you a fan of The Punisher when he was in World Class?
Oh, God. Sorry, Mom. She doesn't know what fucking podcast is. She's never going to hear this, but sorry.
So, that'll bring up, whether the Undertaker's your dad or not. Who were some of your guys' favorite wrestlers when you were growing up?
You go ahead.
Me go ahead?
Yeah, by all means.
Okay.
Wrestling, I guess?
I hate to make a Cubs reference here, but, like, people are like, oh, I was born a Cubs fan, or I was, like, what are you fucking, you were born a goddamn baby. those things come to you later in life, and, like, for some people, they're when they're 5 or 6, for others, when they're 16, 17, whatever. I had friends that liked wrestling. My parents didn't really, I mean, they watched, my dad watched some wrestling, but I think it was just for my friends and shit in, like, 5th, 6th grade. So, like, when I was, like, 11, 12 years old, started watching it. So that would have been... I'm dating myself here. So that would have been, like, the Attitude Era.
Okay.
I was a huge Austin guy. I talked to a lot of
people.
Trust me, I'm going to get there.
Okay,
but I... you know, guys like Christian here, like, I feel like... our guys are going to be different. Like, I talked to a lot of my friends that are, wrestlers now, and you know, they always talk about, like, these technical guys and everything. I'm like, when I was growing up, I didn't watch wrestling for that. Like, I always watched, like, the larger-than-life characters.
Yeah,
and the,
like the Ultimate Warrior, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, those guys weren't, you know, now, like, I got a lot of room to fucking talk, but, like, they weren't the best workers in the world.
You've got a few moves.
I got 6 now, and I'm going to use all of them tonight. Trust me.
They were the best wrestlers.
Absolutely. They weren't fucking technical.
No.
Leave that for Ricky Street.
Yeah, you know, like so many people put over, like, Dean Malenko and shit. I'm like, fuck, I hated him.
He had no personality.
Boring, you know?
He was,
like,
the man of 1,000
like,
holds,
like,
but he was
like,
boring
but, like,
on
now,
the mic.
Like, now I appreciate it. So anyway, to answer your question... I'm a big asshole. To answer your question, I was a huge Austin guy.
Mm-hmm.
a huge Triple H guy, and obviously, like, he's evolved over time just to being one of the best ever. But I was a really big Kevin Nash guy.
Okay, and he was here in LaSalle not that long ago.
A few times, and I actually got to know him pretty well, and it was really fucking cool. Like, that you get, like, you don't always get to, like, meet your childhood heroes.
Right, right.
And that was one that kind of, like, that worked out for me. That was pretty fucking cool, getting to know him a little bit over the last couple of years. And
doing Big Sexy, just hanging out.
Exactly, it's pretty fucking cool, and
at least he showed up. I was excited to meet Scott Hall.
Oh, yeah, Hunter would have been a lot of fun, but Scott Hall got into too many of the dank memes, I think.
Well,
yeah, I don't know. I shouldn't say that because
no,
I don't know what happened.
I was told he missed his flight.
Yeah.
If you can hear the quotation fingers, you know, as I said that. But, yeah.
You know, 100 was still pretty fucking cool without everybody. And Sean was there that day. So
yeah, yeah.
Pretty damn cool.
And that's one of mine, was HBK. Yeah. And yeah, I showed up early. I got my photo and my 8x10 signed. Yeah. It's on the studio wall. Oh, yeah. Yeah, HBK was one of my favorites. I have a Rockers t-shirt that Freckles now has because I can't fit into it anymore. So she wears that.
Too many
that.
Dank memes.
Too many dank memes. It happens.
There goes that sponsorship.
No, Distill's our sponsor, not Triptych. So, yeah, like, he was one of my favorites. Going back to the early days, Macho Man.
Absolutely.
I was a WWF kid, but I still watched WCW as well. So, like, Sting back in the day when he was coming out. And, of course, Ric Flair, you know.
Woo!
You know, how can you not love Ric Flair? But, yeah, like, those were my guys. And, you know, Demolition was awesome until I found out who the Road Warriors were. And I was like, oh, they're just ripoffs. And, yeah, the Ultimate Warrior, again, when you're a kid, you're not paying attention, like, oh, that dude can't wrestle for shit.
Exactly.
He's totally blown up, yep. And the match hasn't even started yet. And now Rick Rude has to carry him through the whole thing. Yeah, it was just like, he was intense, and it was exciting, and the music and everything, and that's who...
I miss that innocence about fans and, like,
yeah.
And shit, like...
Before the internet, you mean?
I'll hear somebody in the crowd be like, oh, you fucked up. It's like, you get in here, motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. I've never done the... I don't do the you fucked up chant. Because, yeah, like you said, it's easier said than done. Yeah. You come out here and do a shooting star press and try not to break your neck.
And that's my thing. Like, I'm always doing shooting star... No, I'm kidding. But, like, I... maybe I'll try one tonight. Whatever.
Yeah, why not? Brock Lesnar, it worked out well for him.
Yeah.
I think that it's interesting to me to always, like, ask people that question that a wrestler was like, who brought you in as a fan when you were younger or whatever? Because, like, you can always see it in who they are now in ring. Like...
It carries
I'm not
over.
This, like in a bad way, but it's like Mike was just saying, like, he was not drawn to guys that are like real technical experts in the ring. Mike is not a technical expert in the ring. He's the first guy to tell you this, but like, for me, my thing was the earliest memory that I have of wrestling is I was watching the segment that you brought up, Macho Man.
Mm-hmm. So
Jake Roberts is my guy.
I had a feeling he was yours.
The first memory I have of watching wrestling ever was the segment where he had Randy Savage tied up in the ropes and he grabbed the Cobra.
And it bit his arm? And they couldn't get it off of Macho Man's arm.
And I remember, like, it's so strange to think that this ever happened in this day and age because of, like, just rules.
It would never happen today.
It's absolutely insane. But I was a child watching this.
Yeah.
And even as a kid... I didn't know what wrestling was.
Yeah.
This is literally the first memory I have of it. I didn't know that these guys... I didn't know what a ring was. I didn't know what... This thing that they're standing in, I didn't know what this was. But I knew that cobras are poisonous.
Yes.
And that this one man could not get away, and this other man was making this snake bite him.
And like, his arm was bleeding.
Yeah. There's those awesome shots where you see that, like, it actually bit him. And, like, one...
It was photoshopped.
Props to Savage for, like, committing. You know what I mean?
Because no shit.
You can... tell me, we've devenomed it all.
Yeah.
I don't want that thing biting.
Fuck that.
No.
You know? And I'm not afraid of snakes.
I said about it. Like, I don't care how much.
I'm not afraid of snakes at all.
Yeah, and it wouldn't let go.
Yeah, and but I'm a kid watching this. And my first thought was, where are the cops?
Yeah.
You know, because, like...
Jake Roberts should be arrested.
In my dumb child brain, that was my thought process was, oh, man... The police are going to show up and arrest this guy for, in essence, using a snake like a gun.
Yeah.
You know, and nothing, like, no cops. Like, yeah. You know, security, referees, whatever, but I never saw a cop do it. And for whatever reason, I was just a jerk at birth or whatever, but, like, my mom was a huge Randy Savage fan.
Mm-hmm.
So she's sitting on the couch behind me, and I'm watching this happen, and it's blowing my mind. And so I'm, like, little kid, and I'm like...
Yeah, you're marking you know, out
like,
hardcore.
Like hitting her in the leg and stuff. I'm like, Mom, I want to do that.
He's calling 911. He's like, somebody help, man!
I'm like, Mom, I want to do that. And I'm pointing at the TV, and I will never forget this. She looks at she's a huge Savage fan. She goes, oh, you want to be like Macho Man and eat Slim Jim or whatever and like do the elbow off the top and ooh, yeah. And I go, no. I want to be the guy throwing snakes at people. And that was it. That moment on, like, I wanted to be Jake Roberts. And,
yeah.
Like... for the next few years, I watched as much wrestling as I could, and mm-hmm. he was always my guy, and there was just, like, he was so different at that time.
Well, yeah,
because everyone looked like action figures.
And back then, everybody shouted in their promos. Yeah. I was, you know, Royal Rumble weekend was just, you know, mm-hmm. last week, and that's my Super Bowl Sunday, and I was watching old Rumbles, and mm-hmm. I pulled up, like, the 1991, because that was the first one I ever saw. And everybody, this is back when they would do, everybody had like everybody a 10-second like promo at the beginning of it.
I'm going to win the Rumble.
Yeah, and everybody's shouting, and Hercules calls it the Rumble Royal.
Yeah.
And like all this kind of stuff. And
you
then Jake.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jake didn't.
And then Jake comes on, and he's like talking all like quiet.
Yeah.
And then, you know, talk. He was so good on the mic. He's one of my top five.
So
stick men. Like, I like the talkers. It makes sense. I do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I never shut the fuck up. So, of course, I'm going to gravitate towards the people like him. Flair, Dusty,
yeah, absolutely.
Piper.
Absolutely.
You know, I
Piper,
like...
Piper was another one. Was
yeah. And because, I mean, when I first started watching, you like the faces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you cheer for the good guy. But eventually, you're like, oh, the bad guys have a lot more fun, and there's more to them. And that change will... happened. I rarely like the quote unquote good guys now. I'm a huge heel fan.
I'm really big on the idea of like depth to characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like me and Mike have talked about this like so many times, whether it's like at shows or we're drunk or we're just in the car going wherever. But to me, like one of the things that made Jake, like there's a million things that made him stand out at that time period. But like one of the things that made him stand out to me, like I think subconsciously, because obviously I'm a kid, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? I don't understand the idea of like motivation or anything like that, but like at that time period, your baby faces, they were good just for the sake of being good, and your bad guys were bad for the sake of being bad. And Jake Roberts seemed like, on some level, the only bad guy that had like a reason that he was a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't necessarily know what it was, but there was something that like, it's an easy snake allegory, but like he was hypnotizing,
mm-hmm.
you know, like just the way that he would talk, and like he had such good eye contact. And I always like, even going into, like, other venues of entertainment, like books, movies, comics, anything like that, I've never been a fan of bad guys that are like, oh, I want to take over the world. Well, why? Because I can. What?
Like, there's got to be more to it.
Like, I like villains that have a reason for being a villain.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the only guys back then where, like, oh, the Iron Sheik was a villain. Why? Because he wasn't born here. Well, that's not his fucking fault. You know what I mean? Like,
Jabroni?
Yeah. But, like, it wasn't that they were... They were all great, especially for that time, but, like there was just, like, I'm a good guy. Okay, well, why are you a good guy? Because I don't break the rules or anything. Cool.
Yeah.
Why don't you break the rules? Nobody went further than that surface level,
mm-hmm.
and I think maybe, like, on some, like, deep reptile brain level, no pun intended, that was one of the things that appealed to Jacob.
Well, he's also one of them that I think would have... done just as well, if not better, in the Attitude Era.
I agree.
You know, like
if
a lot
been, like,
of.
Born like maybe 8-10 years after
yeah,
he was.
A lot
yeah.
of people from the 80s, if you put them in the Attitude Era, it's
mm-hmm.
like, what the fuck is it? Red Rooster? What? You know, but Jake, I think, would have been great, and they could have taken it even darker.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, definitely.
But unfortunately, that was during his born again phase.
Yeah.
And then he wrestled a man named the Ringmaster, Steve Austin.
Yep.
And the rest is history.
Yep.
Austin 316. I still have my original first print Austin 316 t-shirt. Like the first one that was ever made, I still have it. I cannot wear it anymore because I got it when I was like 13. But I might be able to pass it down to to Jackson when he gets a few years older, and he'll have like a vintage t-shirt that's valued probably at least $100 or so on the secondary market. I don't know. There is such a thing. There's such a thing. You know, people like buying those vintage shirts. All right, well, we're going to take a pause here, and we're going to insert a promo for one of the other shows on the FCF Network. It's another show that I am on a weekly basis, so if you found me moderately entertaining on this one, you might want to check out a show called IBWIP. It stands for It Burns When I Pee, and we just do a bunch of stupid shit and play games and have fun. So check us out on the FCF Network. This is IBWIP.
For over 8 years, Blake Clayton, the podcasting god, has brought you the best in roots music, adult comedy, and real talk with his ever-revolving cast of co-hosts in the form of It Burns When I Pee. Join one of the true podcast originators along with intern Heather and the Bottle Cap Kid as they play games, interview interesting characters, and just maybe uncover the meaning of life. New episodes of IBWIP can be found every Friday on the Fakakta Comedy Network. Check us out at fcfnetwork.com and join in on the fun.
All right, we're back. That was IBWIP, and this is a nice treat. Mike here has brought a guest beer that I didn't even know he was bringing. Well, I guess he didn't really bring it because he lives here. But he busted out an El Segundo Brewing Company, Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA. If we're on a podcast and we're talking wrestling nonstop, you have to drink a beer that involves a wrestler. And this has actually been on my list of beers to try. My friend Brandon, you have to, like, get it mail order.
Yeah.
Okay. And I have not had it yet. So I'm pretty stoked about this. Like I said, my expectations are appropriate. But I'm happy to try a new beverage. Christian, you're like lagging. Is it because you're drinking the Coors too much?
Maybe. I don't know.
Let's go. He's a big pussy.
Shut up. give me just a minute here, and I will happily have some of your.
Okay. Drinks. All right. Well, let me pour a little bit more in here.
I will say that it smells to be the strongest we've done so far.
You're wrong.
I am?
You're wrong.
I'm a big dumb idiot. Wonderful.
All right. Broken Skull IPA. It's a badass 6.7%.
Shit. That's so 0.8 off.
Yeah, yeah. And it's an IPA designed by Steve Austin and ESBC for the working man and woman. Now, that sounds like a Dusty Rhodes beer. This is the comma man. When you have hard times, you gotta drink the Broken Skull IPA.
That would be a good thing that we need to do one of these nights, is we need to just get drunk in here and watch promos. Just
like, oh, that'd be a, yeah, like a classic ones.
Yeah. Because Hard Times is
oh, for
always
sure
up there.
Yeah.
Austin 316 promo is up there, even though it's very brief, but like,
no,
it's still like, it's just awesome to watch.
Todd Pettengill will forever live in infamy because of that promo.
Yes, very much. Oh man, that was his greatest contribution. that one's great. My favorite Jake one is the one on Million Dollar Man for Mania that one year.
Yes.
Close it with wallowing in the muck of avarice. I was like, this is great. Like, nobody else is using words.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everyone, like, at that time period, especially people were grunting promos.
Well, you can talk about
the punk promo.
Yeah.
The
pipe
bomb. The promo.
That was a promo that rejuvenated my interest in WWE for a while. I had a dark period where I fell.
I think we all do.
Out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I watched it nonstop from about 88. Until 2002.
That's a long, long run.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, I didn't just I watched WCW.
Yeah.
I watched WWF. I watched ECW. And it's right around the time my daughter was born. And I think that's part of it. Like, I just got wrapped up in real world shit. Yeah. I got to work for the Postal Service for 40 plus hours a week.
I have a child.
Yeah, and I got a kid. So, like, wrestling took a back seat because I was watching Bear in the Big Blue House and the Wiggles.
Sorry.
Yeah, it happens. I've seen them live in concert. The Wiggles. The original Wiggles. Yeah.
No wonder you drink.
Odd question, out of nowhere.
And
I don't think we've ever discussed this. Did you ever watch WCW or ECW? Or were you
Yeah, no.
I saw, yeah.
WWF, WCW, I didn't know the indies were even a thing.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I
didn't either.
I would think that's probably fairly common, but I had heard of ECW, but like I only saw like the VHSs and shit at movie stores and shit like that.
They didn't have like the greatest TV, distribution.
I watched some WCW, but like I said, you're talking about Monday Night Wars.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was right then.
See, all my friends in high school were big WCW guys.
Really?
And I was still a WWF loyalist.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah, Goldberg's great. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Did you ever have, like, tension?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, like, they would have pay-per-view parties, and they're doing it for, like, Halloween Havoc and stuff. I'm like, why can't we do this for Survivor Series or SummerSlam? Why does it always have to be WCW? And they were, like, really hardcore on Goldberg. And I'm like, I don't like him.
I remember thinking I was cursed with WCW because, like, me and my friends would try to, like, rotate where we had pay-per-view parties at.
Okay.
And I only hosted two that were WCW pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was the show where Sid broke his leg.
What were we just watching last night? Was it Total Divas? There was somebody was watching that match where Sid jumps off the top rope and just snaps his ankle.
That was how the pay-per-view ended, too. Like, yeah, that was ended. Like,
wait, what happened?
That's a dusty finish.
The ending was amazing, though, because they had hyped the debut of this, like, mystery man for Flair's group or whatever, and it turned out it was going to be Animal. So, like, Sid murder fucks his leg to death. And he's laying in the ring just like, and then they, like, real quick, guys, before we get him out of there, and they have the mystery man down in, like, a mask and a straitjacket. He unmasks and it's Animal, and it's supposed to be, like, this big shocking reveal.
Yeah, but everybody's freaking out about the dangling
foot. Exactly. They're might die, and we don't care. And, like,
poor Sid.
Get his blood-filled boots off. Get into the back.
And with all due respect to Animal, like, I don't think that would have been, like, a huge reveal in the first place. It'd be like, one half of a tag team from 15 years ago. Like,
you don't get many compound fractures happening on a pay-per-view.
And then the other time that I ordered a WCW pay-per-view at my place was the one where Paul Orndorff, his body, like, shut down.
I was going to say, he had a time where, like, he just started looking really weird.
Yeah, because what happened was, like, he didn't have his neck surgery, and so the right side of his body had atrophied.
Okay.
So if you go back and watch it, if you've ever seen, like, those old-timey circus sideshow freaks where the guy would, like, work out one side of his body and keep the other side of his body looking very feminine, it's some weird version of that, because, like, one side of Paul Orndorff, even for that age, he looks jacked.
Yeah.
And then the other side just looks, like, sad and withered, and it's because his entire right side had atrophied. And it is beyond incredible to me that at that time they were like, yeah, man, you're good to go.
Yeah.
You can have this match with people, but, like, his body just shut down.
Did they just call him Mr. Wonder, since he wasn't full?
Wonderful. Oh, man, he was half wonderful. Wow. But, like, I remember, like, watching that, and, like, it's like the Natural Born Thrillers and the Filthy Animals, and then for whatever reason, Paul Orndorff is in there. And he comes in, he kind of cleans house, he does this god-awful pile driver, and then he doesn't get up. And you can see, like, Conan and the other guys that are in the ring.
Max Moon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great reference. they try to, like, they literally try to work around him. And when I say that, I don't mean, like, oh, get him out of the ring.
No, physically around
him. He is laying in one side of the ring, and they're, like, Rey Mysterio is doing his stuff in the other half of the ring.
Is this back when he was dressed like the Phantom?
No, this was when he had those horns, like,
somehow psychosis
grafted onto his head and no mask. And then they just call the match, and they just end it. And I'm like, wow, like, I remember being like, guys, I'm not ordering any more WCW pay-per-views, because every time I do, somebody gets just hellaciously injured.
Well, I mean, some of them were good. I remember watching when Hogan turned, and that was a fun one, with the Outsiders and the birth of the NWO. But a lot of them, it was just hot garbage, and I was a WWF fan, and none of my friends shared that love, and then WCW went down the shitter, and then it's like, okay.
It got real bad at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it... Woof. Like,
see, I missed the buyout. That was during my dark period.
That was amazing. That
so
was fun.
I
that
didn't
was
see
exciting.
Any of that. Like, and getting back to it, the punk thing, I had kind of... I would watch it sporadically But then the pipe bomb promo happened.
You talk about
it was great.
The WCW, WWE, like the what's the word I'm looking for here? Help me
out. Rivalry.
The
war.
The war there, conflict. And then the
buyout.
The buyout
merger.
The merger. The fucking whatever.
Shane O'Mac came to town.
And then you talk about CM Punk. And you don't typically do wrestling stuff on the podcast.
No, okay.
You're kind of
talk wrestling, but not to this level.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So, like, our fans are called Drunkamaniacs for a reason. Like, that's what our t-shirt says.
So you're going to have some people that are new?
Probably,
this,
you know,
like, oh,
she used to tolerate the wrestling talk, and now she's as into it as...
You're wearing an Ultimate Warrior shirt.
Exactly.
Now Warrior shirt, like, yeah, okay.
So, yeah, talk about it.
I get people all the time, like, you know, like that I talk to, oh, yeah, I got a show tonight. Oh, what kind of show? Wrestling show. Like MMA, or like the UFC
right.
Sport, like
the
no,
fake stuff.
The fake stuff, and it's.
Well, and because so people many, don't think, or even now they don't know that wrestling exists outside.
It could be that, but I think a lot of people, you know, they say the word fake and everything, and in my opinion, no one in wrestling has hidden that for over 20 years.
Right. Kayfabe is gone. All,
yeah, I mean,
especially with the internet, Twitter, and everything. Yeah,
you know, I don't necessarily like using the word fake, but
I hate it. But I absolutely hate it.
When you're talking to other people, when you're talking to people who don't know,
gonna flip
fine,
the table.
You use whatever fucking word you want to use.
Yeah.
You know, get in the ring for 5 minutes, and we'll show you exactly how fake it is. Like, but choreographed. You know, we're. You know, there's. It's no different than a movie or a play or.
Right. It's a dance.
Exactly.
We were watching.
Perfect.
We were watching Wrestle Kingdom 11
uh-huh.
last night, and you know.
Man, Omega and Okada.
Yeah, the match of the year. We were watching
Mike
that.
Hartpower, the only person that hasn't seen it yet.
You need to.
I'll watch it later tonight.
Okay.
And it was
I'll
one of those.
It, like, tomorrow.
Let's watch it tomorrow.
I'll watch it Monday.
Yeah.
It's basically like a super choreographed dance,
sure.
You know, and it tells a story, and when it's done right, it's just, great. It's great to
absolutely.
Watch, you know, the athleticism.
Physical vaudeville, I think.
Yeah,
is my favorite
okay.
Right.
The stuff in wrestling that I think, and like I said, I don't think anybody in wrestling has tried to say, oh no, it's real, trust me, it's real. Nobody's said that for 20, 25 years now. So, I think the best stuff in wrestling now is the stuff that kind of makes you scratch your head and you say, wait a second, was that
a shoot
was that the pump pipe bomb was for me holy shit, and man, it was so good. And the shit when Shane McMahon showed up on WCW TV,
mm-hmm.
like
yeah,
all that shit, you're just like, holy fuck. And that was
right.
still pretty fresh, where you're like, there were definitely, I know there's still people that are like, oh yeah, it's real, like, I mean, but you know,
yeah.
Back then, there was still like a wide portion of the audience that definitely, like, you know,
they got so invested.
Yeah, absolutely. And suspension of disbelief is
like,
you know.
Yeah, I think as wrestling fans, you have to have that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I
to get involved in the stories.
Like when I was a kid, like, I was all about Jake, and then like I enjoyed Macho Man a lot, and. Randomly, I liked Big Boss Man when I was a kid. And I, yeah, exactly. He was great. Like, do you remember the Wrestle Buddies? The big
one? Yes.
Fuck yeah, dude.
They had a Boss Man one?
They did, because I had.
Really?
Yeah. I had a Boss Man.
I only remember Hogan, Savage, Warrior, and DiBiase.
I remember my mom got a Hogan one, and I was like, didn't ever, like. But, like, I actually fell out of wrestling when I was a kid throughout most of the, like, mid-90s, because. I'm a kid, I'm an idiot, and I'm innocent, which kind of go hand in hand, and I'm at school and I'm talking about, like, oh man, Jake Roberts did this, and, you know, whoever I'd just seen, and one of my friends was like, you know, that's fake, right? And I think I was in, like, first or second grade, and I was like, what?
You were crestfallen.
Yeah, I was just crushed.
Yeah.
And so then, like, for the next, like, 5 or 6 years, I hated it, because I felt like I'd been lied to, I felt like I'd been betrayed. And then my dad got remarried. I had a stepbrother at that point who was, mm-hmm. like, literally the same age as me, and we're in the same class. And I grew up in a super small town. So, like,
okay.
Me and him were already friends, and now it's like, oh, shit, we're living together. And this was the Attitude Era, like, at the start of the Attitude Era.
Right.
Like, The Rock had just become The Rock. Austin was hot. I think this is right after Michaels had left, so it would have been probably, if memory serves, like just after Mania 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I come downstairs one night, and he's watching Raw on the TV. And so me and him always got along, but like, you got the TV. I want the TV. Or whatever. And I was like, dude, I don't want to watch this shit. It's fake. And he goes, I know it's fake. I don't care. And I was like, wait, what? We're allowed to do that?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. I just like watching it because it's awesome. And I was like, oh, okay.
You can, yeah,
like,
I thought I had, you know.
So I started watching it from that moment on. I was hooked. And useless trivia, the reason that my ring name is Christian is because, like...
Edge and Christian?
Correct. I was...
The Brood?
For whatever reason, I was good at figuring out, maybe not how the moves were done, but, like, how to hook people for them.
Okay.
So, like, as soon as I started watching wrestling again, like, I've got, like, I'm the oldest of four. I'm like... Oh man, that was cool. So I'm like grabbing my brother and giving him like fisherman suplexes into the couch and, you know, all this other shit. Because it's the only thing I was ever like naturally good at wrestling. I'm a horrible athlete. But I could figure out the holds.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I saw Christian do the Impaler or the Unprettier.
Okay.
I was like, what the fuck was that? Because that, at that point, that was the coolest move I've ever seen. And I couldn't figure it out. So I'm like grabbing my brothers by the arms and I'm like twisting them and... It's not right every time. Yeah. I'm like, this doesn't work. So I recorded Raw every week for the next, like... And keep in mind, this is, like, Ed Veeran, like, he's super low on the card, even when, like, The Brood was on.
Right.
So he's not necessarily on TV every week.
He didn't blow up until he got to TNA.
Yeah,
you know?
Really. Even if he is on TV every week, at that point, he's not hitting his move, necessarily. So I had to record Raw every week for, like, a month until he did it. And then I just sat there for, like... 30 minutes, just rewind, play, trying to figure out how he did that stupid hold. And that's why, like, when I started wrestling, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to use that as a ring name. And then Mike has a good story about his ring name where it's like, he was born with it.
Yeah, my thing there was like, no, I got literally fucking nothing. Yeah.
Well,
it's really interesting. My middle name is Lennox, L-E-N-O-X. And everyone's like, man, you got to fucking use that. Like, Mike Lennox or... Dick Lennox or Tommy Lennox.
Dick Lennox would have been an amazing wrestling name.
Really, like Richard Lennox. Yeah, like, you know, like, yeah, like, I, fuck it. Tonight, making his debut. Fuck it, whatever. Yeah, you know, but, like, you know, there's no Hartenbauers in wrestling. I just, you know, and no one else in the family ever did shit. So. Yeah, I don't know. I just use my real name.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think we'll play another song here from our band of the week, Say Yes. This is another song that involves a comma in the title, which I actually told the singer. He asked me, you know, which ones are you playing? I said, well, ironically enough, it's both of them that involve punctuation. And he's like, cool, because... I like those ones. So this is Too Much, Not Enough. But first, I asked them about their beer tastes, because all of our Canadian bands seem to be big beer fans, which I don't know what that says about Canada or...
Let's go.
Yeah, I don't know. But they are huge fans of Collective Arts, which is super, super local to them in Hamilton, which I believe is in Ontario. And one of their... past records, they used it as art for one of their beers. So that's kind of cool that they got their album art on a beer. So here we go. Song number two from Say Yes. This is Too Much, Not Enough, here on Drunken Lullabies.
Oh,
right, and that was Say Yes with Too Much, Not Enough. And Too Much and Not Enough, I don't know if that refers to beer or not. I don't.
I'm kind of intimidated by these ones.
Okay, well, I'll be gentle. And it's time for what we like to call our sponsor spotlight.
Hip hop, hip hop. My voice is like a monster. And now a word from my sponsor.
All right, let's drink some sponsor spotlight. Sponsor spotlight.
Clap, 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 clap.
Yeah, all right. This is the Wild Sour series from Distill. We have a fantastic sponsor, Distill Brewery. I don't know if you guys are aware of them. They're out of Bloomington Normal. They've been doing this a while. They make fantastic beers. And one
Normal,
of...
Blono?
Blono beer.
Yeah!
Yeah, we drink Blono beer weekly. And this is from their Wild Sour series. Support flavor, boycott bland. I'm going to give you guys one can here to split between yourselves.
Are you taking that other one all for you?
I'll share it with you.
Oh, okay.
Freckles will drink some. This is... Okay. Their Wild Sour series is probably what they're most known for. They are intense sours, but I think this is the easiest one for somebody who's not used to sours to enjoy, because it's a stout.
I've been described as both bitter and sour.
There you go.
Hopefully this works.
This is the Plum Sour Stout. It rebels against style boundaries as it opens with a bold fusion of fruitiness and chocolatey roast. Dark fruit flavors then take hold, evoking memories of plum jam and chocolate-covered cherries to bring everything into balance. The result is a light-bodied and refreshingly tart stout. And that's just plum sour. Cheers.
Far be it for me to argue, but I have no memories of plum whatever you just said.
Plum jam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had no plum jam.
Chocolate-covered cherries,
Speaking
I do.
Speaking of refreshingly tart, Christian Rose over here. Oh, man. Yeah, this is the most... this one stands out the most to me.
Yeah. It'll do that.
And was I correct and I was to be intimidated by the purple cans?
It's 5.6%. So it's not too bad.
I was actually nervous about the El Segunda Broken Skull.
You shouldn't have been.
Yeah. That was all right.
Because Austin's my guy, and I'm like, man, if I don't like it. but let me give you a shout out, Steve, you dumb son of a bitch. That's a pretty goddamn good IPA.
I like that you were worried about it. Like, he's my goddamn role model, but he can't make a good beer.
I didn't want to lie.
If he's fucking listening right now, please email me at drunkenlullabiespodcast@yahoo.com. I want to know that, that Steve is listening to this shit.
That
would make my year.
It's usually pretty spot on.
You're goddamn right it is.
And then when you get more drunk, it just becomes a pirate.
Yes. Yes.
All
right. Okay, now for the Wild Sour.
So, yeah, this is the...
From Bologna.
This is the Wild Sour Plum Sour.
I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you said chocolate, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of stouts, they're kind of chocolatey. They got that roasty taste to them. But the sour...
It's
a nice balance. They have other ones that are extremely tart that I like, but I wasn't going to subject you guys to it. I brought one that I thought, okay, this will be a change from the IPAs that we were going to be drinking. So I threw you a little bit of a curveball.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know how much more of it I should drink. I already plan on fucking my opponent up enough tonight.
It's 5.6%. You're fine.
Okay, good. Give me three more of them.
Okay.
Ziggy's going to hear this like a month later and be like, that's what happened.
Spoiler alert. Fuck. No,
I'm kidding. It does taste a lot stronger than...
It does. And stouts are generally higher ABV, but this one's not too bad.
I just like... Man, I actually really enjoy how sour this is, and that's such a strange thing to say.
Well, you should go to Rudy's. Not too far from here, they carry several Distill beers.
Yeah. I've been there once or twice in my day.
Just a couple times.
They don't sell the Broken Skull IPA.
No.
Yeah. That is shocking because they have, like...
It doesn't have distro here.
Yeah.
I just picked up some Hop Slam for about $7 less than what I would pay back home, so I was super psyched about that.
Why do you not have a move called the Hop Slam?
I'm gonna fucking debut it tonight.
And what else did we pick up? Oh,
some anti-hero.
Anti-hero that Freckles has been drinking while we've been doing the show. And I also picked up a six-pack of Pseudo Sue from Toppling Goliath out of Decorah, Iowa. We've featured it on the show before. They finally got fucking distribution in Illinois. I am stoked. And I'm going to be drinking that T-Rex beer for breakfast tomorrow.
There's a T-Rex beer?
It's on the can, the T-Rex Sue. I did the T-Rex arms. Yeah, I'm not looking crippled.
Like a gargantuan child. So I love dinosaurs. And
I was obsessed with dinosaurs. Like as a child, I did a school project in third grade. I had my dinosaur collection displayed in the local library.
That is impressive.
It was.
Jurassic Park is one of my favorite films of all time.
That came out when I was in junior high. So Well, I'm older than you.
That's not true at all, because I remember I was in fourth grade when that movie was out.
I just said, oh, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
I'm 35.
So yeah, you are older than me.
Yeah,
Did you, like, get held back or something? Or
no.
Or skip a few grades?
No.
Man.
Class of 99 in high school.
Did we just find out how old you are?
Class of 99?
Yeah.
That was an 02.
Okay.
Anyways,
so you saw like an early teaser release of Jurassic Park years before it came out.
Yeah.
Who do you know?
Me and Steven are close friends.
I just call him Uncle Steve.
I remember before The Lost World came out, I had literally every Jurassic Park toy that was made, even the dumb shit that was not in the first movie.
Oh, okay.
I was a horrible child, and I made
you're a horrible adult.
Thank you. Nothing changed, and I made my parents buy this shit, and they saw enough by me watching it because like I saw it in theaters, and then when the VHS came out, I was in grade school, and I had a copy reserved at a sunk.
Oh, I had it on VHS as well. My sister had to leave the movie because she got too scared.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
So my mom took her out, and they walked around the Ben Franklin that was next door to the Morton Theater, and my dad and I finished the movie, and then I made fun of her for the rest of the day. Like, you didn't... What? It wasn't that bad.
I had the compound set up.
Okay.
The little electric fences. I had the SUV, the Ford Explorer set up that had, like, removable doors and shit. I had the T-Rexes that had... Which, to me, this is amazing that this is how far kids' toys have come or fallen. I had the T-Rex, and there was one or two other ones that had removable skin.
I remember
them fight and take chunks out of each other, and they were just, you know, like, rib cage and muscle.
So, what is it about kids from the 80s being obsessed with dinosaurs? Because, obviously, like, I was, you were. So, it wasn't like we were the only two. Kids today aren't obsessed with dinosaurs.
There's more options.
Why?
Yeah, that's good. I think that
there's more toy options. And there's like, more everything.
Because I love dinosaurs before Jurassic Park.
I would argue that it's because, as weird as this may sound, like the technology for like movies and TV when we were kids was nowhere near what it is now. So now you can watch some random show on Sci-Fi on a Tuesday, and they may have a CGI dinosaur walking around. But when we were kids, we didn't.
That technology wasn't there.
So you like. Jurassic Park was the first movie where you really saw a dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And not like some bullshit claymation or something.
It was the Andre the Giant of dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you never, like, they never seen anybody run a peanut. And I think that now, it's just so common. Like, there's literally dinosaurs in car insurance commercials now.
Yeah.
You know, and we didn't see that. It's the Jaws thing. Like, Jaws is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah,
like,
Uncle Steve made it.
Yeah, great dude. I love Uncle Steve. Nobody had seen a big shark at that point. Even though that was an animatronic shark that barely worked, like, nobody had seen that.
I saw the actual shark at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago when I was a kid.
Very jealous of
it. And it creeped me out. Like, I knew it was animatronic and they had it moving and, like, the jaws are going. And we have a picture of me and my cousin, like, standing in front of it, and I look creeped the fuck out because this robot shark's going to eat me at any point, you know?
Me and the missus actually went to the city back in the fall.
You just called her the missus.
Yeah.
We all caught it.
It's official now.
Busted.
Like how he buries the fan with the belt and shit, and he's like,
"Screw you, guys." Me and the lady went into the city because there was a small theater that was showing back-to-back Jurassic Park and Jaws.
Okay.
And so I was like, "You got a good
double
that's,
feature.
That's everything I would want." And they served beer.
So even better.
It was fantastic. That was a really good time.
You've
probably not seen either of these movies, have you?
What movies?
Jurassic Park and Jaws.
I'm not from start to end.
Okay, I know from your Facebook feed that you're getting into TV shows. And you're like, Sons of Anarchy is better than Breaking Bad.
Which is simply untrue.
Shit.
Hey, I just started it and I'm more captivated now. I'll tell you what, the movies I just... This was just a couple weeks
ago. Mike, I love you, but I wanted to fight you when I read that thing. I live two blocks away. I almost came here and...
Wait till... I know you're two seasons in. Wait till you get to the end.
And then I'm going to be
like... And you're going to be like, okay, they were right.
Okay, well, hey, I'm completely open-minded.
Yeah. No, I liked SOA at first, and then by the end, I was just like, well, this is extremely frustrating to watch.
No, like with the movies and shit, like people are like, oh yeah, you ever see this movie? I'm like, nope. Oh, you ever see this movie? Nope. Like, I suck with that shit. I that was part of my New Year's.
Yeah, you had a whole post about it. People were supposed to give you recommendations.
I want to start watching more movies and, you know, TV shows and shit. Like, I've never seen The Walking Dead, and everybody's like, oh, The Walking Dead's
awesome. I'm like 2 years behind on that.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
I've never had cable. Wait, we still have. Cable.
No, we have Hulu and Netflix or... and Flow Slam and the WWE Network. We watch wrestling and we watch Total Divas on Hulu.
I'm catching up to everybody. Just take it easy on me.
Yeah.
We'll go from there.
We like Doctor Who. We watch that on DVD.
I've never seen that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, there, see,
there's
that's
a handful of things that, like, I watch a lot of TV and movies and there's still...
Oh,
like,
fight you.
Shut up. There's still a lot of, like... big glaring things that I have not seen. I've never seen any of the Star Wars films.
No.
Same. Good lord.
Same.
So, like, whenever people are like, well, do you like them or not? I'm like, I don't know.
I have no opinion. I have not seen them.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
As dumb as it may sound, I kind of feel like I have because they've been parodied so much.
Well, I mean, I didn't see them until I was in high school. And by then, I already kind of knew the story. Like, oh, I already knew Darth Vader is Luke's father. That was completely ruined.
Jesus.
For me. Sorry. Oh. If the Drunkomaniacs don't know that fucking business, then I'm sorry.
Like, if it was anyone in the world, I'd think, like, oh man, that's just a joke. But Mike has seen so few things. He probably even hasn't seen something. Yeah. He hasn't seen Tommy Boy.
Tommy
Boy. Going,
Luke.
Tommy, you know, I'm kidding. I've seen Tommy Boy.
Tommy likey, Tommy want we.
I hate that the joke landed and was almost true.
Oh, boy. Well, I think it's time for us to go on to our next segment.
What do you got?
It's time for Picks of the Week, bitch! All right. Well, we've drank some good beer. I chugged an Anti-Hero. You guys didn't get to drink that. We had the Triptych Dank Meme. We had the Left Hand Extrovert IPA. The Stone Delicious IPA. The El Segundo Broken Skull IPA. And then we threw the curveball with the Distill Brewery Wild Sour Plum Sour Stout.
Real good.
I'm going to ask... what you guys enjoyed the most. Be honest. Nothing will happen if you don't pick the sponsor beer. We will still continue as a podcast.
Okay.
So fear not. Be vocal. Cut a promo about your favorite beer.
Personally, I was a big fan of the citrusy beers.
Okay.
The IPA is the extrovert, correct?
Okay.
Dank Meme. I believe they're both.
Yes.
Citrusy. And then... boy, I gotta sit here and grab this El Segundo Brewing Company Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA.
What?
Boy, I take a drink of this and I just,
What?
I thought to myself, damn, this is a good IPA.
What?
And I said, man,
what?
I wish any of these damn bars in this town of LaSalle
would
start carrying this Broken Skull IPA.
What?
When I think of bars in LaSalle,
what?
I'm talking about refills.
What?
What?
I'm talking about the Knights of Columbus.
What?
I'm talking about Social Kitchen.
What?
I'm talking about any of those other dumb son of a bitch and bars. They need to start carrying this El Segundo Broken Skull IPA.
What?
So I can waddle my ass down there and drink it. And that's all I got to say about that.
Well done.
I love how short you cut the list because, you know, like, for those of you who don't know LaSalle,
the big chihuahua,
you can't.
The Uptown Grill.
You can't swing a dead cat in this town without hitting a building that serves booze. Like,
I don't frequent any of those places, so they don't deserve me putting them over.
That is simply untrue.
Whatever.
We're good friends with the Social Kitchen.
Exactly.
Becca, right. Mikey, fantastic. Dave, yep. They're all yep. fantastic. Exactly. I've recorded three episodes at their establishment.
My mother got me a gift card for Social Kitchen for Christmas. And
we're going there for lunch.
We're going to eat.
Or dinner. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck.
It's getting pretty late.
All right, we're going to eat dinner there. All right, Christian, you're up.
Oh, man, well, it's going to be difficult to follow the eloquent soliloquy that just came. But, okay, you can't see it, but I am sitting Indian style.
That's racist.
I'm sorry, I'm sitting cross-legged to deliver my promo about the beer that I thought was the best beer today. As I sit here, having drank several of these beers, and I look out at them, and there's a couple of them that I hope are canned sitting there as uncomfortably as they can, I'd just like to say the following statement. That the Plum Sour Stout was the best in the world at the beers that I have drank today. And the fact is that day in and day out for the past 6 minutes, that beer has proven to be the best. In this apartment, on this podcast, even at commentary, no one can touch this Plum Sour Stout. But the Plum Sour Stout doesn't get video games and big press releases, no. Instead, it gets hounded by people who are like, what is this in a purple can? And they're just as much a part of the problem as anybody else. That's it. Christian Rose, light bomb!
All right, well...
Being several beers deep, I think that I did an okay job.
That was solid. I think the Still's going
to
like that. They don't do radio spots, but
damn
if
it.
They do, I will give them permission to use that.
Please, please.
They're building a new brewery. It should be open in the spring right off of 55. Yeah, maybe they can play that while people are drinking.
That would be amazing.
And, yeah, scare them into drinking wild sour. God. Okay, so I drank all the beers. The Dank Meme is my go-to, but I've had all of these beers before. So even though it wasn't the best beer I drank today, I got to go with the El Segundo. Because I hadn't had it before, and it was a bucket list beer. And thank you, Mike, for contributing that to the show. I am very pleased to get a stunner to my palate with that IPA and the bitterness from El Segundo. From Broken Skull Ranch. So, yeah, that's our picks of the week. Freckles, you drank 4 cans of Anti-Hero. 3 cans.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's your pick of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just making sure. All right, well, this is where I give you guys a chance to plug anything you would like about upcoming dates, where people can find you on the internet. All that fun stuff. We already know Christian's going to be training future wrestlers to be at the Funky Monkey.
Correct.
Training grounds. Starting in March.
Yep.
FMU.
FMU. Yeah.
Yeah.
With me, Changes Trainers, possibly TOKU. Toku! Team Overkill, represent. Yeah, please, by all means, check out Funky Monkey. Be sure to email them, Funky Monkey Wrestling. Also, Jim Ribs, JIMRibs at Hotmail for details on training. Follow me on Twitter, at Bitter Lunatic. Follow me on Snapchat, at Bitter Lunatic.
I don't even want to know what you're posting on Snapchat.
Honestly, you'd be really disappointed.
Okay. Would I?
Maybe. It depends on the day of the week and what's going on, really. You can add me on Facebook if you want. I gotta be honest with you, I think Facebook is like the white trash of social media, but feel free to. Fun fact, if your profile picture is not a picture of you, I'm not going to accept your friend request.
You accepted my friend request.
I did, but I'm pretty sure your profile picture is a picture of you.
It is.
Okay, see, that's the thing. Like, I don't want to get a friend request from, like, when I look at a profile picture, if I see a group of people, I'm like, I don't know which one you are. No. Delete. If I see a truck, no, because I know that truck is not sending me a friend request. And if I see a baby, I know that baby doesn't have his own Facebook. Well,
and if it does, why does it?
Yeah, and I know he doesn't need to be.
No.
Or she doesn't need to be friends with
no.
me. So that's one of my go-tos. And I think that's really all that I'm on social media. Also, be sure to check out Tommy Flagg. At Tommy Flagg NWL on Twitter machine. He's a good friend of mine. be sure to check out NWL as well as... I'm going to plug the place I rest for. Be sure to check out NWL, Fully Loaded Wrestling up in the North Dakota region, Funky Monkey here in Illinois, and if you follow me on any of the other social media sites, you'll see wherever I'm at, 01 USA down south at Central Illinois and whatnot, and yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Mr. Hardenbauer.
Same things Tom said. same companies, same places, but you can find me on Twitter at mhardenbauer. Instagram at mhardenbauer34.
Why 34? Who's number 34?
That's Kerry Wood.
Okay.
And I've had like the 34 thing since I was like
11. Should have gone 23.
Yeah, I know. I should have. I didn't really see Ryan Sandberg play that much, to be honest.
See, Rhino was my guy. Even though I was a Cardinal fan,
yeah.
I played second base.
Yeah.
I had a Rhino signature glove and a poster of him on my wall. So as a diehard Cardinal fan, if I had a Sandberg poster on my wall next to my Ozzie Smith, that meant something.
Yeah.
I also met Mark Grace when I was 8 years old. I have my 1988 Donruss rookie card signed and my picture with him. He's wearing a very unfortunate-looking shirt in these days and times, but, you know, I think at the time he was married to a woman who was from Peoria,
yeah.
And he came and did a baseball card show as a favor
yeah.
to his brother-in-law, who ran a shop in the area, Baseball
one
Card
of,
City, I believe.
One of my six maneuvers that I use frequently actually is named...
Is it called a slump buster?
Yeah, slump buster, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
So I did my spinny
that's
face
where
buster thing and,
Mark Grace,
yeah.
I'm guessing after he was divorced, maybe not.
Yeah.
When he was in a slump, not hitting so well, he would fuck a very large woman in hopes that it would break his slump.
That crazy bastard. He would be in like
Freckles
a 2
face
for
on this reveal, by the way, is
he would be in like a 2 for 25 slump and be like, "Oh, guys, time to go slump busting."
Yeah,
they'd go out in whatever town they were in, and just he would just pick the nastiest bitch he could find. And
it's true. It's damn true.
Next day, Mark Grace 4 for 5. What do you think he had the most hits in the 1990s?
Because it's one of those things where it's like, I mean, I guess it worked for him, but am I the only one who thinks that doesn't make any sense?
He's a fucking degenerate, and it worked, and I love him, so.
Like, I would have thought that, like, the idea would be to, like, bang the hottest girl that you possibly
can. Not Mark Grace.
You're distracted. See?
You've thought about this much.
I'm just telling you. I have distractions because I always, you know.
I'm not saying that
I'm
it
a
didn't
picky guy.
Work. That's not true. I'm not saying that it didn't
Bullshit.
Work. I'm just saying.
So, anyway, at M. Hardenbauer on Twitter, at M. Hardenbauer 34 on Instagram, and Mike Hardenbauer on Facebook. Like yeah, no shit. So, yeah.
All right.
That's all I got.
Well, we are going to bid you all adieu. Thank you, Drunken Maniacs, for listening to this. Thank you to the new listeners who are checking the show out because the two gentlemen joining me shared this on Facebook, or I just tagged them and they had no option but to let their followers check it out. But we hope you enjoyed our episode this week. And until next time, may your music be loud and may your beers be cold. I will see you, Drunken Maniacs, in a week.
Hell yeah, man.
This has been a Fakakta Comedy Funhouse production, produced by Dustin Wyckoff, executive produced by Blake Clayton. For more information and content, go to fcfnetwork.com.